lack of prayer. If you're getting up every day of the week and you're not coming to God in solid communicational prayer, you could be missing what he's trying to talk to you about.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Hear, Trust, and Obey, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The book of Matthew. If you remember, this gospel writer was writing to the Jews, and he was trying to reach a Jewish audience, and therefore, throughout the Gospel of Matthew, you will see a lot of references to the Old Testament. If anybody tells you that the Old Testament is null and void, don't listen to them, because the New Testament is full of references to the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, like we talked about before, points towards Jesus Christ. The Old Testament points towards the cross. The Old Testament points towards the promise of a Messiah, whereas the New Testament points us back to the cross, points us back to the Messiah, points us back to the promise that Jesus will come and save us from our sins. So it's important that we read our Bible and we know our Bible and we take it into context as a whole. And that includes the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so we've been going through the book of Matthew, the gospel, and we learned how Mary was a virgin. And we learned how when she became pregnant through the Holy Spirit, that Joseph was very upset about things. He didn't like the fact that his promised wife was pregnant. He thought that she had committed some form of adultery. And as we remember, we went over this, that in those days you were promised to somebody through a contract that was arranged by parents. So Joseph was promised Mary, and they were to date about a year to see whether or not this was going to work out for them. And in that time, they were supposed to remain pure up until the marriage time so that she would be a virgin bride on the night of the ceremony. So technically, under Jewish tradition, they were, quote, married, or as we would call it today, engaged. However, the Jewish people took this contract very seriously. And under Jewish tradition, she could have been stoned. But he decided to have mercy, and he thought to himself, you know, she's betrayed me. She's hurt me. I'm devastated. I could get my revenge. But no, he was a just man, the Bible says, and he decided to divorce her quietly. Now again, let's not get this mixed up. They weren't technically married, but under Jewish tradition, they were as good as being married. Now, if he wanted to, he could have brought this out to the open and said, hey, this woman has betrayed me. She's an adulteress. She's pregnant. I don't know who the father is. Let's stone her, guys. And pretty much people would probably be on his side in that day, and they could have put her to death. But then Joseph, in his stress, because it says as he thought about these things, have you ever had something horrible happen in your life where you just keep thinking about it? It won't leave your mind. Well, you can bet that Joseph was going through these things. He was tormented by this. His bride-to-be, in his mind, appeared to have committed adultery. So the Bible says as he considered these things, an angel visited him in his sleep, and he was talking to him in a dream about how this child was from God and how Mary did not commit adultery, and then gave Joseph some very specific instructions. to follow, to obey, to trust. And so we're at the part in this chapter, Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. I am reading out of the ESV. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word today. Father, I pray that you will open my mouth and fill it with your words and that you speak your will today. God, I pray that each and every one of our hearts are open to receive your message. And God, you will bless us so that we may go forth from this place and bless others. In the name of your holy Son, Jesus Christ, we ask this and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So let's go through this scripture one more time. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. God chose Joseph for many reasons to be the adopted father of Christ. Some of those reasons are that Joseph would hear, trust, and obey him. And that is the theme, that is the title of our sermon today. Hear, trust, and obey. This is a formula in your spiritual life that if you put it to practice, your whole life will change for the better. If you don't put this formula into practice, you will meet life in defeat. Maybe not all at once. But as life goes on, you will see that you are slowly and surely being defeated. So it's very important that we put what Joseph put into practice, the formula of hearing, trusting, and obeying God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. My first point is hearing God. Now, you know you can't trust in anything if you don't know about it. You cannot trust or obey anything unless you've heard first. You got to have knowledge of something. You got to be able to hear. One of the first things that I prayed to God as a newborn Christian was, I want to hear you. Because somehow, some way, I understood, and I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit telling me this, that unless I can hear God, I'll never trust him. Unless I ever trust God, I will never obey him. You have to hear the word of God before you can trust the word of God. And you have to trust the word of God before you can obey the word of God. So the first step in this formula is hearing God. Joseph had to hear God through the angel. God talks in many ways in our lives. Did you know that? God will talk through circumstance. God will talk through people. And they're not always Christians that he's talking to you through. Sometimes he can talk to you through a sinner, an unbeliever. God will talk to you through sickness in your body. God will talk to you through health in your body. No matter how he chooses to get your attention, God can use any instrument he chooses to speak to you. The point that I'm trying to make here today is that we need to open our ears so that we can hear what God is saying and recognize it when it's him doing the talking. Because there's somebody else that's talking to you too. The devil. There's somebody else besides the devil talking to you. You. You're talking to you. All day long, you have a thought process. You have your idea of how things should work. There's another talking to you. The world. Come on over this way and let's have some fun. Let's do it this way. This is how the world does it. We got many voices, but the one voice we need to be hearing is God's voice. One reason Joseph could hear God was because he was a just man. Now, the Bible says that nobody is righteous except for Jesus Christ. But it also says that when we believe God and trust in him for salvation, that makes us righteous before God. So I believe when the Bible says that Joseph was just, in Matthew chapter 1:19, we went over this, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. A just man because he trusted, he believed in God. Understand that the Bible doesn't call anyone righteous except for Jesus Christ, and all Christians are righteous or just through him. So one reason why Joseph could hear the word of God is because he believed in God. Now, there's a difference between believing in God and believing God. Joseph remained still until he heard from God. I said Joseph remained still until he heard from God. Now, this is important because a lot of times when something happens in life and we don't like where we're at in life, we want to take it upon ourselves to figure our way out of it and squirm our way out of it instead of remaining still until God gave you a direction to go in. But often we set out on our way without a map from God, and we're halfway through our journey and finding out that things are getting worse than they are getting better. And we wonder why, and then we realize, wait a minute, I didn't hear from God. Or perhaps you did hear from God, but you didn't listen to what he was saying. You might have missed it. Sometimes God has to repeat himself to you over and over and over again because we're not listening, because we don't want to hear what he has to say, or we're not trained to hear. Matthew 1:20 says, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Now listen to this. The part where it says, "But as he considered these things," but God spoke to Joseph, and Joseph hadn't made a move yet. He had not made a move yet. It wasn't too late for him to hear the word of God. So this angel came to him and spoke to him in such a way he wouldn't miss the message. He wouldn't miss the message. When we are waiting on God to speak to us, we must remain still until he gives direction. So that means that when you have a situation that's coming up in life, up against you, it can tear you to pieces inside, but that doesn't mean it has to move you on the outside. It doesn't mean that you want to do something that God hasn't told you to do. You don't want to move until God gives you the go-ahead to move. Sometimes it's better just to wait right where you are until you know you heard God speak into your life. Until you know. Because if you go in the wrong direction, it's going to be a long ways back. It's going to be a long ways back. When we jump the gun, we get sidetracked, and hearing God becomes harder for us to do. Listen, when you get sidetracked by doing the wrong thing that God didn't tell you to do, what happens is you have another problem to deal with. And when you get that other problem, guess what? You're even more likely to miss God's word again. Because if it was hard enough to hear him the first time with one problem, and you've created a second problem, how much harder is it going to be to hear him the second time with two problems? Think about what I'm saying here. You're just adding to it, adding to it. It's like putting cotton in one ear and then putting another one in the other ear. You're just adding to the part where you can't hear. Because problems distract us, don't they? Some reasons we don't always hear God. And make no mistake, we don't always hear God. And there are some reasons. One of the reasons why we don't hear God is because we're not even praying to him. When's the last time any of us have asked God, "I want to hear you"? Instead of us coming to him and says, "Hear me, O Lord." So lack of prayer is one of the reasons why We can miss God when he speaks. Lack of prayer. If you're getting up every day of the week, every day of the month, every day of the year, and you're not coming to God in solid communicational prayer, you could be missing what he's trying to talk to you about. Another reason is selfish praying. What, Pastor? How dare you tell me I could pray wrong? Jesus said that the Father knows of what you need before you even ask. Therefore, in this matter shall you pray. What is that? In the will of the Father. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. See, the will of God is not being done on earth. What are you talking about? He's God. If the will of God was being done on earth, we wouldn't be told to pray for it. Why would Jesus tell us to pray for the will of God to be done on earth if it was already being done? He just told you not to pray for things because your Father already knew. So he's directing you to pray for his will. His will is that Jesus is Lord and Savior of the lives of every person. But even that will not happen. There'll be some people that won't make it because they'll never believe. But selfish praying will make you miss the Word of God. So instead of coming to God and saying, Lord, this is what I want you to do, we should come to God and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Where can I serve God? How can I help this person? How can I be of service to you, O God? Come to God with service in mind. Come to God and say, Lord, remove things out of my life, even things that I love and adore, if they're in the way of serving you. Close the doors, God, that don't need to be opened in my life. Take people out of my life, God, if they don't belong there. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's the way we are to pray. Yes, Lord. Not how, Lord. Not where, Lord. Not why, Lord. Not when, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. 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 Just agree with him. Agree with him. Lack of Bible study. Did you know that if you don't know your Bible, you don't know what God has to say about certain things? If you don't know your Bible, how are you going to hear God when someone comes up to you and gives you advice from the Bible? Well, this is what God says in the Word to handle this, how to handle this situation. Well, I never heard or read that before. Have you been studying your Bible? One of the reasons why I put so much scripture on the screen up here is because I want people to understand that I'm preaching from the Bible, that I'm not making this stuff up. Everything that I preach about, I back up with the Word of God. Because you know why I do that? Because unfortunately, I know that there's some of us in here that don't know their Bibles. And they might think I'm making stuff up, that God wouldn't really say some of the things that I say he says. But then when I show it on the screen, you have proof. And you can hear God a little bit better because the Bible is presented to you. So, lack of Bible study. Lack of Bible study can cause you not to hear the Word of God. Lack of church fellowship. There was a day that I was being sidetracked into coming to church, and I couldn't understand why I was having such a hard time getting myself to church one day. This is before I was a pastor. When I got to church, I had three people there speaking to my life, something I needed to hear. But had I not pressed through and got to that church, I would not have heard what God had to say to me through those people. So for those who skip out on church, you know what they're missing out on? They're missing spirit-filled people that God speaks through that can hear God when he speaks, that will obey God when he speaks, and will speak into their lives. See, this is why church is so important. People say, well, I can get church off of TV. I can get church off the radio. Amen, you can. That is true. But you can't get fellowship off the TV. You cannot get fellowship off the radio. And if anybody in here has ever been in a hospital bed and you turned on that TV, it doesn't make up for a visitor coming in and holding your hand and saying a prayer at the hospital bedside, does it? You'd rather have a human being there praying with you than some preacher man on TV praying for you. And church is so important to hear God because there's people that are at church that will pray with you and speak into your life a word that God is trying to get to you. But if you don't show up, well, you could miss the message. So that's another reason why people don't always hear God. Another reason is lack of involvement. So you show up to church, you read your Bible, you listen to the sermons, but you never get involved. You never take what God has given you and put it into practice. You're a sideliner. I know how to play the game, and I'm very good at playing it, but I'm not going to use the gifts, the talents, and the resources that God gave me to do anything for Him. That's called lack of involvement, lack of commitment, lack of dedication. That means that you're doing all of the things mechanically, but you're not in it with all of your heart. And so when God has a message for you, you're so consumed with yourself and so unconcerned about the church that you really don't care to hear from God. Why does it matter to you? You're not involved. Why, the pastor is just talking to everybody else. The pastor's not talking to me. How could he be? I'm not involved. I'm just on the sideline. I'm a spectator. Nobody notices me. I don't count. I don't need to make a difference. Everybody else is doing that for me. And then you can miss what God has to say to you. Lack of interest. This is almost like being not involved. Lack of interest. You really don't care what God has to say to you. You got your own problems. Man, life is hard enough. Why should I try to change my life to live it like the pastor is telling me? Why should I have to listen to God? I really don't care about those things. I really don't care. I don't care if I show up to church or not. I sleep in a couple hours. They'll never miss me. Everybody else is doing it. I really don't care to read my Bible today. I'm just not interested. I'll show up to church, but I won't listen. I'll just sit there and I'll text people. I'll play a video game on my phone. I'll talk to my neighbor in church. That'll be something to do. They got great donuts at church, and I can fill up on those. Because I'm really not interested in the Word of God. It doesn't pertain to me anyways. Pastor's talking to everybody else. So lack of interest will keep you from hearing God. Brings me to point two. Say you did hear the Word of God. Now you've got to trust what you've heard. Trust. Trust. Wow. That's a big word for just five letters. Isn't that a big word, trust? Trust is a big word, and a lot of people don't have it for others, especially in this day and age. We live in the show me state. You have to show me, right? And then when people do show you, they usually fail, don't they? Right? They let you down, don't they? So why should God be any different? But let's say you heard the Word of God. The next step is to trust the Word of God. It's one thing to know God is trustworthy. It's another thing to believe God. Did everybody hear that? You might know that somebody is trustworthy, but do you believe that somebody can be trusted for your needs, for your situation, for your life? See, a lot of people, they know all about God, but they don't know who God is. I see car commercials, and they will tell me about the car. But if I've never driven the car they're showing me, I have no idea how great and wonderful it is, no matter how they tell me, because I never took it for a test drive. But once you get into the seat of a brand new luxury car and you drive it, you say to yourself, wow, this is better than what people been telling me. You need to get into the seat of the passenger side and let Jesus drive so that you can see what a luxury it is. But until you do that, until you go for a ride with Jesus, you'll never experience the level of trust that trusting Christians have in him. When we believe someone, we do as they say. I said, when we believe someone, we do as they say. Trust is a very important part of any relationship. If you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. At some point in time, you got to get up and say, listen, I'm going to trust God. Because I know that everybody else may be a liar, including me. I know that everybody else is capable of failing, including me. But I know one person who has never failed, and that is God. Luke 6:46, Jesus asks a question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? This is powerful because they recognized him as Lord, but they didn't trust him to do what they were supposed to be doing. You cannot be a Christian and have victory coming to church and saying, Lord Jesus God, I worship you, and leave here not doing what he's asked you to do. You will fail in your spiritual walk. You will stumble in your spiritual walk. You will crash down spiritually if you do not do what God has asked you to do in his word. But if you're not reading the word, if you're not hearing his word, you're not trusting his word. And if you don't trust somebody, you will not do what they're telling you to do, even if you hear them over and over and over and over again. They can scream it in your ear as loud as you're able to hear it. And if you don't trust them, you will walk away. And I am not listening to you. I don't trust you. People often don't trust God for his word because of pride. One reason they don't trust God is because of pride. They think they know better. Well, I know what the word of God says, but I don't trust that because I'm so smart. I'm so experienced. I'm so wise. I just know everything. And this surely could not work. That doesn't make any sense to me. Therefore, I don't trust it. I'm smarter than that. You think I'm a fool? Any idiot will tell you that if I give 10% to the church, I'll have 10% less money. I know how to do math, you fool. You ain't fooling me. I'm not paying my tithes because I know better. But if you trust God, you would hear his voice say, you shall reap what you sow. Well, I know what the doctor said. There is no cure for me. But if you trust God, you'll know he's the great physician. But if you let your pride get in the way, you won't hear what God has to say. Because your pride will be talking to you. Well, I heard what God said. I should serve at the church, but I'm too good to serve at the church. Why, I've been called to a higher ministry than what this church is asking me to do. Why, I deserve better than that. They're asking me to be a deacon, and I should be a preacher. That's pride. You should serve where God calls you. Another reason why people don't hear God is ignorance. They don't study God's word. Now, this is different from reading the Bible, because sometimes you can read the Bible and you don't understand everything that you're reading. There is no man on this earth that can read the entire Bible and understand any of it without the help of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will bring you a study Bible with material in there that you can look up and reference and say, wow, I think I understand this scripture a little bit better. Now, the definition of ignorance is the lack of knowledge or the lack of information. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean you're dumb. It just means that you haven't been informed. So you're ignorant of something. You're uninformed of something. But if you read in the Bible, you will see where God says that you are to meditate on His Word night and day. Meditation gets you to thinking about something. And getting to think about something gets you to question some things, because God wants you to question His Word. He doesn't want you to dispute His Word, but He wants you to ask questions. Lord, I don't understand this passage. And as you pray that to Him, He will lead you to some information to where you can look up, or a person who can talk to you about the Word of God. Another reason why people don't hear is because they're afraid, fear. They fear He may be leading them into hardship. Pastor, what are you talking about? I asked people before, why don't you pray that God does His will in your life? And they says, oh no, He'll make me a missionary somewhere. He'll do something I don't want Him to do. I ain't praying that. I don't even want to hear what He has to say about my life. He might tell me to do something I don't want to do. That's fear. Their fear has stopped them from trusting in what God told them to do. God will tell them, hey, go here and start this church. But I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm not going to do that. But if God told me to do it, I should do it. He told me to start a church in a garage. Didn't make any sense to me. And I argued with Him a little bit, but then I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And here we are today. He told us to move into here. Now, if I didn't trust Him, you guys wouldn't be here today listening to me. But see, I heard God, and then I trusted God. Fear didn't stop me from trusting. Confusion is another reason why people don't trust God. Confusion. Satan is speaking to them too. Satan will threaten you. When you want to do something for God, he'll come up and threaten you. Well, you better not. Well, this will happen to you. This isn't going to work. He confuses you. He confuses you. So people don't trust God because they're hearing two sides of the story. We've all seen the cartoon, a devil on one shoulder, an angel on the other. Another reason why people don't trust God is selfishness. They want something God is not offering them. Selfishness will stop you from trusting God. Another reason why people don't trust God is rebellion and stubbornness. These people are going to do it their way no matter what God says. Well, I know what God says and I know it's the right thing to do, but I'm not doing it. You can't make me. That's a rebellious heart. Another reason why people don't trust God is worry. They believe that no matter what God says, things won't work out for the better. Now, there are some people that are worry warts. There's some people that no matter what you say to them, they come up with something that doesn't even make sense, but they're worried about it. You should come to church today. Well, what if there's a massive earthquake and a hailstorm and a tidal wave comes up in Missouri? You never know. Now, I'm being silly. But have you ever met somebody that worries about everything? They just worry, worry, worry all the time. And no matter what you try to tell them, well, you know, God promises this. Yeah, but what about this and that and that and this and this? They have 5 to 10 other things that could go wrong. And that's all they do, is they think about what could go wrong instead of what God said He wants to put right. So worry will stop you from trusting God. All right, my last point is obeying God. And this brings us back to our key scripture. I bet you some of you were thinking, how is this all going to tie together? Well, listen, Matthew 1, verses 24 and 25 says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph did as the angel commanded. Joseph knew God had spoken through his angel. He obeyed. So first he heard the angel talking, but he actually heard God talking through the angel. Amen. So he heard God. Then he said, oh, I trust God. Okay, so you trust him. Trust demands an action. Trust demands an action. He obeyed. He did everything the angel told him to do. Joseph didn't think about it any longer. He obeyed by taking Mary as his wife. It doesn't say he contemplated some more. It didn't say that he researched this situation. It didn't say that he continued praying until God gave him another answer. How many of you guys do that? God tells you something, oh, I'm going to pray a little bit longer. That's not the answer I was looking for. I'm going to pray some more until God tells me what I want to hear. No, he didn't do any of that. It says he woke up and he obeyed. Joseph continued to obey and denied himself by not knowing Mary until the child was born. He had to go 9 months without knowing Mary because he wanted to be obeying God. He wasn't selfish. Finally, Joseph fulfilled God's command to name the child Jesus. It was customary to name children after relatives in those days. It didn't make sense. Why should I name him that? I don't have anybody in my family named Jesus. Why should I name my kid God Saves when all of my brothers and sisters have different names? What is God doing? He's messing up my family line, my heritage, my lineage. I don't understand why I have... No, he didn't say none of that stuff. He turned around and he said, you know what? If he wants me to name my kid God Saves, which is Jesus, well, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to listen to tradition. I'm not going to listen to my in-laws, who I know I'm going to hear it from them, because I know that my father-in-law is not going to like that. But I'm going to name him Jesus. I'm going to break with tradition. I'm going to obey. Emmanuel specifies who God is. Remember, we said Emmanuel. He didn't name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel specifies who God is. God is with us. Jesus specifies what God does. God saves. If you want to know anything that God is going to do for you in your life, the number one thing you need to know is God is saving you. That's what he came to die for. God loves you so much, he's dying to get you into heaven. He already died to get you into heaven. And that's why he was called Jesus. Because God saves. That's what God does. God saves his people. Conclusion, God wants to be with us today. And he desires to save us. We must be saved through Jesus before we can be with God. The choice is ours to make. Will you choose to be with God? No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. And God saves, but he has chosen Christ as the instrument of salvation. And if we reject that instrument, it's like going to the doctor and getting prescription and never taking the medicine. If you want to be saved today, you need to come to God through Jesus Christ, because there's no other way that you can do it. You never could do it. It's God that saves.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.